The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Today, I'm interviewing Dr. Beth Westy. She's a chiropractor and acupuncturist, and she has a 12-week challenge to help you sustainably lose weight while balancing your hormones. Today, we're going to talk all about weight loss and balancing hormones and what you need to know. All right, let's jump into the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and I have Dr. Beth Westy on again.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Woo!
We're going to be talking about hormones. We're going to be talking about some weight and some weight loss and things of that nature. We're going to talk about ladies' struggles. And right now, we're recording this in the midst of our social isolation fun here in the States. And I think it's a, big air quotes, fun. And we're talking about how we can help everybody to, you know, take the next step forward and move their health forward. Because I think a lot of folks right now are sitting at home. They're probably maybe doing work at home, or maybe they've been laid off and they're like, what can I do to get myself feeling better? Because now everything that's like flared up is like went to the next level because our hormones are all over the place because we're freaked out.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I feel like there's so many people who are like, you know, I can handle this, or this is not great, but no big deal. Now it's like this huge, heavy layer of stress on our systems, just like igniting those fires that are the problems in our systems. And it's rampant and it's really hard to deal with then. All of a sudden your hormonal issues just skyrocket and you're like, crap, now what do I do? I can't get an appointment to go in anywhere. Ugh.
Right. Or I'm scared to go in anywhere because there's that too. But so obviously we've had you on before and we talked about polycystic ovarian syndrome. We talked about getting that weight off. We talked about your personal story battling with hormones. And now you are working on another round of your 12-week challenge for ladies. Now tell us just a little brief about that. And then we're going to jump into struggles that ladies might be having that would be great fits for this program.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. So the 12-week challenge that I have, it's a group program. I only take so many women in it because I work really closely with each person, making sure you get everything tailored, customized to what your system specifically needs. You know, it goes through a meal guide, grocery list, tons and tons of education, support, videos. You even get like, you know, messages from me. There's weekly group coaching calls and then one-on-one call. So there's a ton of stuff in there, but the biggest thing that sets it apart from so many other things out there is that it's really designed to work with your system and hormones and to get them back on track. So for somebody that has, you know, a history of thyroid and, you know, endometriosis, they're going to need different things than somebody who's in menopause and still having hot flashes, right? So there's different things that we tailor and tweak for each gal to help them get to and achieve the right goal.
I love that. I love that because I think for a lot of people, we have this big thing online where it's like a one size fits all, take my course, you know, boom, see if you get some results kind of thing. And I love that you tailor it to people. And I love that you have all of those menu plans. Guys, you got to go over to her website, Dr. Beth Westy, and it's in her resources section. It's like incredible in terms of things that she's got out there to help you. But let's talk about food and hormones for a second, because I think this is the number one thing. Ladies come into me and they're like, my hormones all over the place. I don't know what to eat. And I know we talked about before on our podcast about eating for your cycle. So I want to talk a little bit in terms of what are the biggest foods that are hormone messer uppers, things of that nature. Like, what are we doing wrong right now that mess up our hormones?
I'm making a face that you guys can't see. Like,
it's awesome.
So the hard thing right now, especially because everybody's trying to get information online, and there's so much information out there, and a lot of it is not tailored for women. So you're reading stuff and thinking, oh, I should try this, I should do this, but it's not specifically designed for the female body. So you're getting information that's not accurate for your physiology, which means it's not going to give you the right result and not going to get you to the right place and feeling good. So a few of the things that I see are, oh, cut these things out. You know, besides it being like artificial crap, if you're cutting out nutrients, if you're cutting out, you know, carbs, that can be really hard on your system. And expecting you to be really, really strict and rigid is very difficult to sustain, which can lead to nutrient depletion. The other thing too is that I see a lot of stuff that's made for women. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, this, you know, women's shake, and it's like, it's just garbage. It's full of artificial sweeteners. Yeah. It's full of art, right?
It's
gross. There's like half of it's not actually food in there. So that is a hormone. Those are hormone disruptors. Those are, those can be disruptive to your digestive system. Those can be disruptive to your endocrine system. So you're actually fighting an uphill battle then, even though you think you're purchasing something that's good for you, it actually contains a lot of ingredients that are harmful. The artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, artificial flavors, blah.
It's crazy. And it's, you know, we were just talking about that before we jumped online, because I'm such a buyer of like cutesy labels and things. And if something talks to me, I'm gonna be like, oh, I really like that. And then I find out later, like, oh crap, I totally fell into that downward spiral of something that's like marketed directly to me with like women's colors and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny how that happens. I'm sure that we are not alone here in that situation. And yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the keto diet, because I hate the keto diet for many reasons, for women in particular. Ooh, yes, you are making some angry faces, because it makes me angry. And so here's what happened, and I'm going to give you a little background, and then we need to talk about this for ladies, because at least a week does not go by where I have a lady come into my office and be like, doc, put me on a keto diet. It's going to save my world. I've seen it on Instagram. Help me. And I'm like, okay. Let's tell you what happened to me when I tried it, because I bought into the hype. I stopped my period for 3 years and then watched my weight go up. And then I struggle to get back into balance. So I'm like, okay, I know firsthand that yes, I'm one person and everyone is individual, but I'm not the only one that's had this happen to them. And the whole concept of bad foods, good foods, all of that stuff, and like, oh, I need to go keto. What do you see happening with ladies when they go on the keto diet?
Oh, yes, this is so important. I'm so glad we're talking about this, because again, one of the things that is out there, research is done on men. Mm-hmm. So all these things, oh, this and this, and here's a study. Literally 2 weeks ago, I had somebody send me an article on how beneficial keto is for people in terms of health benefits and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, did you actually look at the sample size and the study and who it was done? It was done on 7 men.
And only 7.
Only 7. That's not a good sample size. One, those are probably handpicked people. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And they're all dudes. So none of this applies to you, your female physiology. So no. And what I have seen time and time again is somebody will start on keto and they get really excited because, oh my gosh, I lost this much weight in 2 weeks. Now think about what you're feeding your body, that high percentage of fat content. And without being able to fuel and maintain muscle tissue, your body actually breaks down muscle. So when you have that rapid weight loss, what you're losing most often is muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. So then it doesn't take very long after that your body sort of crashes and burns. You get exhausted. You get like physically fatigued, mentally fatigued. You don't feel right in your body. And you're like, oh crap, something's wrong. Something's really, really wrong. I do not feel good. I can't maintain this. And along with that, because you've cut out a group of nutrients, right? Your system sees that as a stressor. And when the female body's stressed, it kicks on fat storage. Mm-hmm. So that's why women will gain weight, gain fat specifically, store fat. And then because your system's trying to keep you alive, it's a protective mechanism. It's really hard. It's even harder to lose that type of weight than it is say, oh, I've been on vacation and I just kind of let things slide, blah, 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 put on 10 pounds. 10 pounds of keto weight is way harder to lose because of what it's done to your hormones and how it's slowed down your metabolism overall.
Oh my goodness. That's huge for folks to hear, because yeah, I got totally flabbier. I was like skinny fat, as they call it.
Skinny fat. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. This is flab. And then now like it, I am, let's see, it is 4 years later and my thyroid crashed like 2 years after it. Now I'm trying to bring that back. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, my adrenal tests were showing that I was like getting into adrenal fatigue. I'm pretty sure if I would have kept things going, I would have like crashed my adrenals too. And this is something that I try to explain to folks. And they're like, yeah, doc, that happened to you. But so-and-so on Instagram looks amazing. And I'm like, yeah, and let's see that chick in 4 years. Cause I'm going to be the person that's going to look at my body. This is what happened. I hate Instagram for that. I hate it for what it does.
So here's the thing about all the Instagram stuff and all these, you know, Instagram models or social influencers and, you know, maybe they put out some, you know, motivational stuff. Great. But unless people have a degree behind their name, especially now with so much information going on, anybody can say anything that they want, and it's not necessarily true. So total truth, I work with women privately, you know, and I, you know, and sometimes I actually get under contract with them, not to mention who they are or, you know, what they do or anything. But I can tell you as a case, these are women that are social media influencers. They have huge profiles on Instagram. They're, you know, fitness professionals or whatever, and they make a living based on what they post and how they look on social media. They either do not follow all the time what they post and what they say they do. And if they have, so I have worked with them in a private setting because they've actually done things like keto, crashed their bodies, lost their periods, and had to restart and reverse everything because they're like, okay, I lost my period, you know, for 5 years and I didn't care, but now we're going to get married and I want to have kids. How do I do this? I can't tell you how many times that happens. And so what you see is not always what's actually going on. Which is, you know, I don't want to just call people liars. It's just not an accurate look at what's happening. And this isn't just the case with Instagram. This is the case with any other media pictures, things like, so did we talk about this last night? My little sister's a model.
No, I want to, yeah,
so super fascinating. Yeah. So, super interesting. So she's been a model for like 15 or more years. Like a really, like this has been her career in between having kids, all this stuff. Right. And she's been in a ton of different things. You know, Glamour, Shape magazine, all this stuff, which by the way, when I saw her in Shape magazine, I called her and laughed at her and made fun of her because she was holding weights. And I was like, dude, you've never weightlifted a day in your life. Did they have to tell you how to do that? Like, I was an athlete growing up, so of course, like, I spent half of my time in a weight room lifting. And she's never, right? Like, she would go for walks and stuff, but she smoked like half a pack a day.
Gosh.
And she's in shape, right? So these are the things. So not just because she had the body type that they wanted, that's what they hire for, right? Mm-hmm. It's not actually that these gals are athletes. It's not actually that these gals are that. Right. And I remember chatting with her one time about her in a photo spread that she had, like this whole spread of photos. And I was like, I asked her, I was talking to her about the look of them or something. And she was like, yeah, well, that look is so hard to achieve. I couldn't even do that again. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I actually don't look like that. The way that they do the lighting, the makeup, the angles, and then the Photoshop afterwards, there's no way that I could recreate that. And that's me. So I don't even look like me.
Wow.
Right? So you're looking at these things. And again, I don't want to just say it's a lie, but people post stuff or they alter their photos or they change the lighting and stuff to make it seem fancier than it really actually is.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think I've fallen into that in terms of, you know, watching, looking at something and being like, oh my gosh, I need to look like her. Or, oh my gosh, I really want that particular look. Like I need those abs. I need that butt. I need that back. You know, like we do this as women and it's crazy because we do it to ourselves in terms of what we want. But half the time it's probably an illusion of what is really going on. Now tell me about this. I'm guessing that you work on mindset quite a bit in your programs and you work on body image positivity and body image kind of welcoming or happiness or however you want to call it. Yeah. What's one of the things that you find in terms of ladies hands down, that seems to be like a resonating like repeat that ladies always do not like about themselves or something like that. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Ooh, yes. Oh, this is a really good topic. Okay. When people get an image of them and their body frame and shape, oftentimes, especially for women, we have this idea that our body at 16 or 18 is our body and should be our body forever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can't tell you how many gals are like, oh yeah, these are my pants, you know, and I can't fit in my pants anymore. And I'm like, well, when did you last fit into those pants? Well, 15 years ago, I was like, you've had like 2 kids since then. Like, your spine changes, your hips change, like your structure changes. This isn't a matter of like fitting into pants. I was like, plus fabrics change over a period of time. Sizing and everything is different brand to brand. We all know that, right? It's like the fashion industry is not helpful for your self-esteem in any shape or form, but it's really hard to get a good mental picture of what your true body shape is. And especially because our bodies change so much over our lifetime, decade to decade, it's different, the body that you're living in. So it's hard to really land and be solid on one type of body style. So a lot of women get then disoriented or disillusioned. Mm-hmm. With what is a positive thing to have. And you're expecting your system at 35 after 2 kids to be the same as it was when you were 20, you know, right. It's just not, it's a different body. So some of the things are like realizing the female body is different, or so mindset wise, it's more of opening our mindset up to, okay, the expectations that you have for your body, for how fast it should respond to things, for how it should be, is really set in a male model mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's all set in a male model mindset. So these are, you know, different things that we think we should be doing or should happen within a certain time frame, because that's how fast men respond. And that's what you've been told. Oh, if you're following this for 4 weeks, you should have this result because that's what should happen. Well, that's what happens in a male body, but not the female body. You know what I mean? It's so hard.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just like, look at if you and your husband go on a diet together and he's going to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks and you're going to still have the same weight. I mean, it's the same thing. It makes sense. We're slower to change because we have adaptations where we grow kids, right? We hatch babies. We have things that happen in us, and yes, it's much different than guys. And I think that's a big component. Now, you mentioned something that I don't know anything about because I'm not a chiropractor, but I want to know about how the spine changes. And like, I understand the pelvis is probably going to get a little wider, or like what happens when you've had kids for your spine? I want to know about this because like I've no clue. Like what does happen?
Yeah. So super interesting for women. And again, this isn't like necessarily a super hard and fast rule, but they've done studies where it shows your spine can change by up to 5 degrees after a pregnancy.
Wow.
So this is like a permanent change to the curvature of your spine, which means if it's more curved, it's going to make you shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, disc height can decrease. That extra weight and pressure on your lower discs in your spine can actually decrease the height of the discs, again, making you a little shorter.
And so then the belly kind of looks like it's a little bit more poochier, I would think, yeah, because you're getting, yes, shorter. And if, yes, you have a tilt going on with the pelvis, does that happen too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. So structurally, posture-wise, it changes. All these other things can shift and change. Now, you can absolutely do core work. You know, when people do abdominal work, pelvic floor work, yes, that can totally help. But again, the ligaments and structure does shift and change post-baby. And a lot of it has to do with the hormonal change and the pressure that was on your structure during that time. So even if you didn't have a vaginal birth and you were, you know, you had C-section, it does change your spine and your pelvis, making it different because of the weight and the pressure. So again, living in a different body, which means that, oh, if you're like, oh, well, I can fit into these clothes, but they don't fit me the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different structure, slightly different structure.
I can see that too, even with ladies who maybe they haven't had kids, but they work out a little, they start working out a little bit more and lifting weights, and they start to get a little bit more of a sway back because of the anterior pelvic tilt. Or those of us who are sitting and sitting a lot more and ending up just with some changes because of a sedentary job. I hear a lot of people say, my body changed after I, you know, went from being a gardener to a desk jockey. Let's put it that way. It changes. And I think for a lot of people, they don't realize that these kind of things can change how jeans fit, how clothes fit, and how you look just in general.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So then women, when we're looking at our own bodies, one of the most deceitful things is you look at yourself at the worst angle possible. You're looking straight down, right? So even like a millimeter of bloat on your belly is going to look enormous.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is going to see that millimeter of bloat but you, right? It looks terrible. You have the worst angle on yourself. So a lot of times it looks really different. So it's super interesting. In the 12-week challenge, you know, we talk about taking your scale weight. We talk about taking measurements because women lose weight differently than men. You know, top-down fashion, usually the scale doesn't change first. It's measurements that change, all that stuff. But about 50% of the women that go through my program, by the time they get to the halfway point of it, halfway mark, they feel really discouraged. They feel like, okay, I feel better. I've got more energy. I'm sleeping better, but I've had zero physical changes. And they're thinking, and they're pretty sure, right? They would put a lot of money down on the fact that they have zero physical changes. And then I show them a picture of their starting photos and their current photos. And they look totally different. And a lot of times, because women will take pictures every week and send them in, and they're like, yep, this is it. I don't see a change. I don't notice a change physically. Yep, still this and this and this. And I'll show this before and current. And it's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. All the time. All the time. And they're like, is that me? Are you sure that's me? I'll be like, it's your couch in the background.
No, I didn't put it there and you took the picture. So
you're wearing the same black shorts. I don't know. But it's that, I mean, that's the mind game that our bodies play with us because, you know, it's such a different journey too. Most of the time when women have achieved some type of weight loss goal, the road that they took to get there is a tough one. So like the keto stuff, oh, I lost weight, but I felt like garbage. Mm-hmm. I did this thing. I got to this 20-pound weight loss goal, but I felt like crap and there was no way that I could maintain that. So there, you know, there we go, right? And so their body's used to feeling like that to get to that goal. Now they're making these positive changes, but because they don't feel like crap, their body-brain connection, they don't register it as a success. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild. It's wild to see. Yeah.
That's good that you mentioned that, though. Like 6 weeks, I think a lot of people, because they're used to the 4-week challenges or the 3-week challenges and seeing all this stuff where like a lot of the magazines will have like the 21-day, well, kind of like Beachbody, the 21-day fix and all these different things where you're supposed to see change in that time. But, you know, I think we're obviously rushing it. We're on a male model in that department. But at 6 weeks, you know, I think a lot of people are like expecting miracles, right? Like we sign up for a program and I think a lot of people, because of social media, expect that we are going to look like whatever we have in our head of this dream person. So the fact that a lot of people are grumpy at 6 weeks because they haven't really got that connection and seen it too, I love that. I love to hear that because, you know, I hear that in my office too, and I get it from people. And, you know, even in myself, sometimes I'm just like, I ate good for a week. Why doesn't my goals fit?
Right?
I was good for a week. And it's like, oh, it's not just a week. And it's multiple weeks. It's multiple many. Weeks. Yeah. And I'm guessing beyond your 12 weeks, you know, your 12 weeks is what it takes to start to get some serious change. I'm guessing that you also are talking about beyond the 12 weeks that we're looking at lifetime of factors. So in terms of moving from the 12 weeks and beyond, do you have support programs beyond the 12 weeks? What do you think with that?
Yeah, so that's a super good question. So I actually have not only the 12-week challenge, but that's like essentially part one. I have a part two. So it's a continuation of everything for another 12 weeks. that's where we actually see the most physical change in results is in the second 12 weeks, because there's so much groundwork that we did in part one that all of a sudden part two, it's way easier. Like, it's like things happen naturally. This is where I had a gal that was in my part two. So funny. She was absolutely convinced that she had no results at all in part one, but she was like, I feel so good. I've got so much energy. I'm working out. I'm able to do workouts like I couldn't before. Like, she had a hard time finishing her workout at the gym. Like, she would have to leave because she'd be so tired and then be really, really sore afterwards. So she was really excited about her progress and that I feel really good. I'm noticing these changes. So I'm just going to keep going. Okay. Part two, let's see if I, you know, see these physical results. Again, didn't recognize that she was noticing that she was having these changes. She was working out at a kickboxing class and her pants just fell off. She just was like kicking. And then all of a sudden just pants at her ankles. And she was like, what? And she's like, everybody was telling me that I was, you know, looking thinner and looking good. I thought they were being nice. I'm like, they're not being nice. Clearly you need new pants. These are like leggings, stretchy pants that fell off your butt. Slim down, you know, but that's, you know, that's the part two, that that all shifts and changes in a very big way.
I think that's important to mention, because when I've been, you know, when I've had people committed and sticking with programs that I've set up for them, it's getting into the 4, 5, and 6 months of committing to the program where we start to see some incredible stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's what I want people to hear from this podcast, is that, you know, we see all these 21-day fixes and we see all these like 30-day challenges and 40-day challenges. And those are great, but those are jumping points. Those aren't, you know, things that are going to be sustainable.
Yeah.
We need to get the sustainability in on things.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So there's nothing wrong with doing like, oh, a 21-day something.
Sure.
But if that's all you're doing, and for a lot of women too, if there's, you know, if you have a hormonal component to your health history, it's actually not going to necessarily be beneficial, especially long-term, if you're only focused for 21 days. It takes way longer for the female body for these things to flourish.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're slow, but we got some good stuff going on when we take our time with it. So yeah. Let's talk about exercise for a minute, because it was interesting that you mentioned about the gal who was fatigued at the end of her workouts or not even getting through workouts, because that's a really common thing. And a lot of people have in their head, like, I need to kill myself. I need to do 2 days, 3 days. I need to do all that to get my weight to drop, because I think everyone's kind of watched The Biggest Loser and watched those people go through so much stuff. And it's like, well, I don't think you need to kill yourself. What are you advising ladies? Like, do you have a workout program within your program, or are you advising folks on what they should do to get through workouts? What's your general thought process on that?
Yeah. So I actually do have an exercise protocol that goes along with the meal guide and hormones and everything. So for those that want to work out with their hormones, that's already built in there. If they want to add that on, great. Some women belong to a gym that they love and they want to keep doing. Great. For example, CrossFit. There's gals that love CrossFit, do CrossFit. But a lot of times the restriction that they feel in their workouts is, I want to go do my workout, but I can't, you know, finish it out the same way. Or like, I feel like I have energy and I do really well for the first half, but the second half, I just like peter out. I can't lift anymore. I can't push as hard, and I want to. Like, what's wrong with my body that I can't? It seems like other people can and I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a problem, that you're not fueling your body correctly for the energy output that you have. And without that extra fuel, again, that can be very stressful, very hard on your system, and lead to increased cortisol, everything else, right? So the whole purpose of, you know, I want to get fit, I want to get tone, I want to lean out, that's not going to happen then with a body that's too stressed out from excess, because then your body sees it as excess exercise.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen then, you know, that leaning out, your body will hold on to more fat tissue to protect it.
Mm-hmm. So we got to watch those folks. We got to watch the folks that are getting fatigued. So if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, hey, what's one thing I can do until I can get in your course in June? We're going to talk about when Dr. Beth's new well, not new, but her next wave of folks for her 12-week challenge starts here in June. So someone's listening to this because it's going to go out in at the end of April here. And for folks who are wanting to know something they can do that's like a mellow workout that won't boost their cortisol too high, what would you tell them? What would be like the main go-to?
Really keep it to about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. 30 to 40 minutes, you know, you can get a great effective workout in. And at this point too, it's not about sweating and it's not about, you know, things like that. The biggest factor to pay attention to is your own body, right? So I feel like people are like, oh, what a sweat fest. Yay. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, okay. Doesn't mean that, you know, something happened more magically in your system than not, right? Right. Athletes that are super highly conditioned athletes, you know, they have to do a lot more to get to a sweating point for their bodies. You know what I mean? Like, I remember hearing, oh, what was it? The US, the soccer team, their warm up is at least 5 miles, right?
I mean, like,
I know, right? I was like, warm up? What?
That's my whole workout.
Yeah, right? That's like my max distance. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But this, you know, those are highly conditioned athletes. So, you know, it's all a gradient. Where are you at in your fitness level? If you're exhausted or you're worried about over-exercising or you have over-exercised before, you're going to need to really, you know, chunk it down and do it on a smaller scale. You know, yep. Keep it to sometimes 15 to 20 minutes. That's totally fine to start with. And it goes off of how your body feels. It's not off of a weight that you're lifting. It's not off of how much sweat you had. It's not off of any of these other things. It's how your body feels and how it's responding. So monitoring heart rate is a great way to check in with your system and saying, okay, how's my energy output? Is my heart rate in check? Because you can do things exercise-wise that are really intense and boost your heart rate. But if you can't bring it back down quickly in between reps, then it's really hard on your system. And that's a big, big thing to monitor as you're getting into fitness. So it's not about time. I would say I'd rather have people work out for a shorter period of time and get and feel really good. You know, so, oh, I got a 20 minute workout in. My heart rate was, you know, maintained properly and recovered well. I was able to recover well from the workout. You know, what's my next step? Go to 30 minutes, you know. Step into it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love watching heart rate and like heart rate variability. I think that was really what saved me in the long run to kind of give me the big, like, oh crap, stuff's not going well when my heart rate would go up and I couldn't get it down to save my life. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Yes. Right. With adrenals and everything, right. With the, like, getting into that adrenal fatigue area, you know, your body has to recover. And if your heart rate is not coming down and recovering well, that's a big red flag.
It is no bueno, as I would say for sure in that department. Now, before we end up, I want to ask a little bit about how, you know, a little bit of details in terms of balancing hormones and how you work with folks in that realm, because I know we were talking how to eat for the first half of your cycle compared to the second half of your cycle. But what about if someone is in menopause or they don't have a cycle because it's stopped, maybe they have PCOS and it's super irregular. What would those kind of folks be doing in terms of eating for their hormones? What's kind of one of your go-tos for that?
That is a great question. So the first thing is to still follow warming and cooling and a pattern with your food. Your, you know, estrogens, progesterones are produced by other tissues, and to really work with that tactic. Also, shifting the tone of your food throughout the month is a metabolism tactic too. So you're not feeding your body the same all the time. You're switching it up. So even if you don't have a regular cycle, even if you've had a hysterectomy, you know, whatever that may be, you can still shift your food to align with different patterns and notice and feel a benefit from that. And then in terms of menopause, things like that. Also realize that a menopausal body needs more protein to do the same job that protein used to do. So for a gal who's, you know, 58 and been in menopause for a while, you're going to need way more protein than somebody who's, you know, 35 and not in menopause. Yeah. More protein to do the same job, meaning to maintain the muscle, all that other stuff. Even if you're the same height, same weight, same goals, that menopausal body needs more protein every day.
Very cool. Yeah, that's something I did not know. And it must be because we're going to degrade the protein because we're degrading our skeletal muscle as we age, correct? That's what's going on there.
Yeah.
So more protein as we get older, folks. Listen to that. I think that's something to listen to versus more fat as we get older.
Yeah.
Because fat is just something that it's harder to break down. I think, you know, I don't want folks to be thinking back to the 80s and 90s of low fat, everything and things of that nature. It's not what I'm saying. But, you know, just the fat's a little bit different in terms of the breakdown. Now, in terms of your course, are you working on gut health too and kind of diving into what's going on in the average individual's gut in that space?
Yes, I actually have a gut health protocol layered into everything. 90% of women with hormonal issues have gut health issues, bloating, constipation, right? Irregular systems, trouble digesting, nutrient depletion, all of it. So I have it built in to work on at the same time. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing. One of my favorite things is when people get started, they're like, I'm pooping all the time now. Is that okay? I'm like, that's great.
It's interfering.
Yeah. Yeah. Going through a lot more toilet paper.
Oh my God, right now, you know. The toilet paper hoarding, that could be a problem. You should probably add a couple, like, you know, as a bonus of my course, you get a full six pack of toilet paper.
Six pack of toilet paper sent right to you.
Oh my God, that's terrible. I might have to cut that out. People are going to be like, what the hell? Oh, geez. So, Dr. Beth, as always, so much fun to chat with you. I think I have a really great idea of your course. I think this could be so useful for folks. And I think that, you know, the 12 weeks is great. I like the idea of being able to extend it. So those of you who are listening to this, 12 weeks plus in terms of the course here. And gosh, Now you're having it start in June, right? June 2020, for those of you who are listening to this, if it is before June 2020, jump on her website and get on the wait list because her courses fill up fast and she's got to cap them because there's only one of her and many of you. So Dr. Beth, tell us a little bit, website, where do they find it? You know, how can they apply? Because there's an application, yes? Or just getting on the wait list, then application?
Yeah. So, my website is just www.drbethwesty.com. And then you can get on the waitlist for the next round that we do. The next round's registration opens in June and I do cap it. I had to cap the last round, you know, just because I want those women who are ready to jump in and get started, that they get, you know, all the personal attention that they need, to make these changes. And, I do have you fill out some information for me just so I know more about you, more about, you know, the course, everything else, that this is the right fit for you. Because I've also chatted with women where I've, like, you know, we've talked about, oh, is this, you know, this is what I have going on. Is this the right next step for me? And I'll say, no, this isn't the right next step for you. You actually would need to do something like this other thing first. And then maybe we could do the 12 week challenge. Because I want to make sure it's not only the right fit for me, but it's the right fit for you too. And it's going to get you the right results. So I do have people fill out a survey of information from the waitlist. And then once you're on the waitlist, that's when you get the information for registration. So I don't just open registration and have anybody be able to purchase anytime. It's only a specific time for the people that are on the waitlist.
Get on her waitlist, go over to drbethwesty.com and check it out. Now, also, you have an amazing YouTube. So if folks want to get to know you a little bit more, you are super candid on there. I love it. Tell folks a little bit about what they can find on your YouTube channel.
Oh, yes. I have so many videos. It's almost like a library of videos of content. And pretty much all of it comes from questions that people ask me or information that people are looking for. You know, about hormones, about digestive health, you know, anything across the board, Dutch testing, all these things. So I will do videos, live videos, and then they get uploaded to my YouTube. So if you're looking for something specific on like endometriosis, you can just go to my YouTube and find it really quickly versus trying to scroll through Facebook forever.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Oh, I didn't talk about the Dutch test. Crap. I love the Dutch test. Those folks who are my patients have heard all about that. And so is this included as part of the 12-week challenge for folks that sign up, or is it something that it's like a prerequisite or something nice to have for you?
It is nice to have. It's not necessary, but there are a lot of gals that do the 12-week that also do the Dutch test. So I'll have them go through, they'll get a Dutch test sent to them in the mail. They'll get then customized recommendations based on that. And then we'll jump right into the 12-week.
Nice. So yeah. Those of you who don't know what the Dutch test is, well, Dr. Beth, will you tell us what it's all about?
I will. So the Dutch test is a dried urine. That's what it stands for. DU, dried urine test of comprehensive hormones, DUTCH. And so the things that I really love about it, it's sent right to your house. You take it at home, you mail it back in, and it tests the hormone metabolite. So we see the entire pathway of it. If you go in and get a blood test, you're getting a bunch of hormone information that's chunked down into one number. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily accurate in terms of where it's an issue. So for example, I did a Dutch consult this morning. Perfect example of this. This gal, her regular, like, cortisol levels were within normal range, right? And she was like, yep, I've been told it's normal, blah, blah, blah. Well, then I look at the Dutch test and we're looking at free cortisol versus metabolized cortisol. And then we're looking at the pattern of cortisol throughout the day. Holy cow. Her free cortisol, that one measurement was normal. Her metabolized cortisol, totally, totally gone. Low, super, super low. And then her pattern, she's like, yeah, I'm really exhausted. I really have a hard time getting out of bed. I was like, yeah, because you're not having a normal cortisol response in the morning. You're supposed to have your cortisol rise and spike in the morning. And hers was going down. I was like, it's going in the opposite direction. This is not good. This is going to make you feel like a zombie for at least an hour when you wake up. You wake up, it's like a zombie before something actually turns on in your body. She's like, yes, I feel totally exhausted. I'm like, yeah. So, way more information about what's happening in your system and the pathway of everything versus, oh, well, your cortisol seems fine. We tested this one little number versus, oh, here's a bunch of information about what's happening in your system.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Like, Dutch tests are really cool, guys. You can actually see like this whole map of how your hormones play out. And like, it's like how they break down and metabolize and then what they get like turn into. It's really eye-opening because we can chart back to like, okay, here's the problem in the system. So if any of you out there have been to even a naturopath or a conventional doc and they've done a regular like saliva cortisol, or maybe they've done saliva hormones, or maybe they've done blood hormones, you get one picture. And the Dutch test kind of gives you the whole breakdown. And I like to use the Dutch test when I'm really like, I can't figure you out. I don't know what's going on. Let's see what's going on within the breakdowns. There's usually something there. So if you're struggling with hormones and trying to figure things out, the Dutch test is a great way to go. And I'm really excited that Dr. Beth is using it as part of her course. So guys, go check out her stuff. Check out the 12-week challenge and maybe extend it a little bit, because I like the idea of a 6-month challenge. And yeah, go give Dr. Beth some love and see what she's got over there for you. I think she's going to be extremely useful for you guys. Thanks, Dr. Beth, for coming on. Hey,
thanks for having me. This is super fun.
Hey, Health Junkies. Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausend.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
subscribe, rate, and share info.